Oh, thank you. Is it on already? Check and see. Yeah. Is it running? Good. Okay. Yeah, Mi Feng better check. Okay, good. Sorry, just now not recorded. Maybe I read through again. Page 119, Heart Sutta Note. Lesson 35 and 36. To develop the heedfulness needed to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, one must at least understand what is heedfulness and what is meditation as taught by the Buddha in order to start. It's just like you have a problem and you come to a meditation teacher and he said to you, just meditate, your problem will be resolved. Is this going to be useful if you do not even want to find out what your problem is? How can you start solving your problem when you do not know what is your problem? Similarly, with meditation, if you do not understand what meditation is, then how can you start developing it? Meditation and cultivation must be done with understanding, so that one is not gullible. Dhammapada verse 21-23 already stressed the importance of heedfulness. So heedfulness must be a part of you in order to realize enlightenment. Continuous heedfulness is the key to the noble life. Those without heedfulness cannot become enlightened. Please refer to earlier 34th Heart Sutta notes for detailed explanation of what is heedfulness. As meditation is a very general word, it is important to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop the wisdom via insight into three characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, so as to be at peace with all situations wherever you are, term upadhi vivika. Fully relax and be aware to develop the wisdom born of direct seeing. The thought must not interfere. There is just clarity of mind leading to the awakening or insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. The mind that is liberated is so free. It understands that all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all empty, and they are all conditioned arising of causal phenomena following nature's law. This is deep, penetrative wisdom. In cultivation, we should thank those people who are not so friendly and constantly make things difficult for us, because they are the ones that can give us the condition to test our cultivation. Hence, we should perceive them with wholesomeness and wisdom. We are accepting them as they are, then expressing our gratitude towards them. Then great compassion will naturally arise in our mind. Do not perceive any situation with negativity, for the absence of evil is good. So don't try to be good. Because without wisdom, one can end up becoming just a good-hearted fool. The unenlightened ones are so heedless, chasing and clinging after so many things in life. They still grieve and worry about life despite having so many things and possession, for they lack contentment and wisdom to live life. The first noble truth of dukkha that expounds so clearly the eight realities of life existence need to be understood. Otherwise, they can really make human beings miserable. Without understanding the true Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, suffering will be the final result. So strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless. Please listen to the recorded tape for more detail. Then we move on to question one. While cultivating mindfulness in daily life, I was able to be mindful most of the time when I'm going about living the normal life. But when confronted with work-related or personal problem, I find it very difficult to maintain the heedfulness. And I realize that the same worrying and fearful thought keep coming back to haunt me. How can I overcome this? This is quite typical when you start to cultivate. This is a very good question, yes. When there is no First Noble Truth reality to disturb you, cultivating heedfulness or mindfulness in daily life is fairly easy. The challenge is when one is confronted with the First Noble Truth reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, threatening separation from loved ones and possession, prized possession, one's prized possession, etc. Like work-related and personal health, career, relationship and financial problem, etc. Can your mind still be peaceful and calm to cultivate the requisite heedfulness? This is most difficult. But it can still be done if one has developed the appropriate wisdom to confront them with right understanding. This is the reason why the Buddha constantly advised the bhikkhu to reflect on the five daily contemplation and strive on with heedfulness to arise the much needed wisdom to overcome all this First Noble Truth reality. Then the five daily contemplation I have gone through, so you read up yourself. Once the wisdom born of cultivation, of one's cultivation and above constant reflection and contemplation has stabilized, then these projections of wrong thought to haunt you will not have power over you. Wrong thoughts are deluded thoughts that condition one's fear, worry, anxiety and suffering via one's self-delusion and security that condition one to cling onto the five aggregates as the I and the me, hence the heedlessness. So ultimately, it is wisdom that really free and liberate one's mind. Job pressure, deadline and target can be very stressful within the job and career environment. And if one has not developed the wisdom to confront them with understanding, it is not easy. The same goes for personal problem. So the Dhamma understanding to confront all this First Noble Truth reality is very important. And this is the reason why the Buddha's final advice before his parinibbana, or passing away, is to strive on with heedfulness to develop the requisite wisdom to liberate one's mind. Then understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, we have Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23 to confirm the importance of heedfulness in order to become enlightened. So heedfulness or Appamada equals to ever mindful to cultivate the Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So the first thing we must do when starting this meditation is to train our mind to be in sati or silent inner awareness, to be ever mindful without thought most of the day, most of the time. Then only use this trained mind in sati to meditate and cultivate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. How do we train this mind to be mindful and aware most of the time? First, we must understand we are most of the time heedless and not mindful or aware and peaceful. According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances that condition our heedless thinking, thereby stirring our mind and hinders our mind from returning to its natural meditative state of inner peace and calmness before the stirring. The five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, lethargic mind or sleepy mind. Then restlessness or agitated mind due to fear, worry, anxiety. Then doubt. The five mental hindrances condition our heedless thinking, lack of peace and awareness. So we must reverse all this via cultivating the opposite five, which are the five spiritual faculty: sadha and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then virya, spiritual zeal, tenacity to cultivate heedfulness, sati or mindfulness or awareness. Then samadhi or collectedness of mind or unwearying mind, and panya, wisdom. To cultivate these five spiritual faculty, the Buddha recommended that pre and post puja or devotional practice of paying respect or homage to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, and take refuge in them. following the renewal of five precepts, chanting the various salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. The paying of respect and the taking of refuge, followed by the chanting of the various salutation, is to develop the faith or sadha and virya, spiritual faculty. Then the paying of respect or mindful reverential salutation is to develop the composed mind to be mindful while paying respect to the Buddha. So do not underestimate the importance of puja in the cultivation process. When sati is developed, samadhi will come to be, and with sati samadhi, one will see things as they are. One will have clarity of mind to see things as they are. Without the interference of thought, via the sati and direct seeing, indirect seeing, hence awakening to the truth leading to the wisdom. Then to decondition the heedless thinking, we use the mind sweeping method as a skillful means to train our mind to just feel and relax, no more thinking. As we sweep the mind through our body, this will allow the mind to naturally relax and calm down on its own. We can also combine it with the radiating of metta or loving kindness to develop the inner well-being and wholesome state of mind to enhance our meditation. After the mind sweeping method and metta training, our mind should be more relaxed, calm and peaceful. Then we can use it to develop sati, the silent mind with awareness, via anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Training as taught by the Buddha in his Kaya Nupassana practice. After that, when sati is already quite stable, we should move on to the mindfulness of the four postures, followed by sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension training as described in the Kaya Nupassana six category of practice. Once sati is established, use it to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha. The real meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. But before that, I get the there. Okay, I read again. Once sati is established, use it to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the four foundation of mindfulness to complete the training. Yes. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the cessation of all suffering and enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay, summary of cultivation. You keep this sheet of paper, you photostat and cut it out. Then you will know what to do. Constantly reflect and remind yourself, is this what you are doing in the name of meditation? How to train the mind to be heedful? Via puja and devotional practice, a daily religious routine will be useful, the first one. Then, coupled with mind sweeping method and metta, then anapanasati, then mindfulness, the four posture, and mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movements in the present moment, or daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then, once heedful, use the trained mind to cultivate three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the four foundation of mindfulness, or Satipatthana Sutta. So the chart that follows is very important. At the center is the question, what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? All these techniques, puja, the mind sweeping method, and metta, anapanasati, posture, plus daily mindfulness, use the heedfulness, the heedful mind to cultivate the three turning and all things. So these are the technique that you use. Puja is to develop the five spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrances. My sweeping method is to decondition the heedless thinking through feeling and relaxation without thinking. Then how to develop heedfulness? Cultivate Kayanupassana via Anapanasati, mindfulness of form, posture, daily mindfulness, sati, samajha. So all these are very clear. Then you all got all the other definition. So you read through on your own. Okay. So final result of meditation is about realizing the wisdom to be at peace via accepting the reality of the moment. So the main objective is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, to realize the unreality of the form and mind. Okay, we stop here. Then we let Brother Chia to ask his question. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Brother.
Don't worry.
Because of my ignorance, that's why I ask.
Don't worry. What we need is condition for Dhamma to be shared and flow.
We discussed about the Surangama Sutra, right?
Yes.
And then we also said that Mara will not be able to create havoc if this sutra is around.
Yes.
Right. So I want to understand
it. It doesn't mean all Mara cannot create havoc, no. It only means those who have the cultivation of this Surangama Sutta understanding, Mara got no chance. Understand?
Okay, so the essence of this sutta is it because of the true mind?
That's why the sutta come about where the Buddha knew. Yeah, that Mara asked him, remember? The king of Mara. He said, you sure parinibbana? Yeah, he know the Buddha is passing away. So the Buddha actually already taught this Surangama Sutta. And he's ready. He said, even I'm not around, if cultivator of the way understand this sutta, they will not be deceived. Understand?
Because when I look at this, right, other than the 50
deviant samadhi,
which are energy based,
yes,
right. So that's why the Mara can influence very easily.
Correct.
Then the second part, because you talk about the source,
yes,
right. So then the true mind,
yes,
because the true mind is one that you know is beyond. So you
pure awareness. Yeah, he cannot
Mara
touch you.
Can influence only the
no, he cannot mind. Touch you because that true mind arises the wisdom. And through the wisdom, he know that all these energy fields are mind-made, not real. So because of that, that cultivator who have the understanding will understand that the 50 deviant samadhi is not enlightenment. Understand not? Because they are very powerful. They are like, wow, like you say, can see light, like Xu Yin, in the dark room at night, he can see like daylight inside. Then he can also see outside like daylight. All these manifestations will appear. But he knew it's deviant samadhi, where it doesn't give wisdom. It only boosts your ego. That's why he was not caught. Then he continued. He didn't even want to talk about it. He didn't want to report that meditation. He just moved on. That's why those who have this understanding, they will not be deceived. But if you don't have this understanding, everything you perceive and experience is like so real. You will really think you already make it. Understand? Can follow?
Okay. So hence, the practice of this true mind for 24 hours is to always keep ourselves vigilant, right?
I can't hear you. You repeat.
Our practice of keeping this silent mind 24 hours so that we keep on maintaining this state.
Oh, you don't do that like Huining, understand? You just silent. Let the condition flow, understand? Then when the time come, it will awaken. When the conditions are fulfilled. And this one you cannot practice on. You have to develop the ability to be silent. Means you understand the thought is there. Why? Because of heedlessness. because of delusion. That's why it conditioned the hindrance. So what I have to do is, when I understand this, I got two choices. One, go and cultivate despite the hindrance. Means very difficult. Understand that? That's why you a lot of thought. Very difficult to be peaceful. Very difficult to calm down. So what people do? Introduce a method and a technique to anchor the mind as well. And then they will end up, chances, focusing. Otherwise, they cannot be peaceful. Understand that? But the hindrances are there. So when you focus, you suppress, oh, then you're very calm, very peaceful. That's why you get caught. Then you go into energy field. But when energy builds up, you cannot do anything. You don't know how to relax. You've got no outlet. So this is the first danger. Then when you understand the Buddha Dharma, you will not be gullible. Understand? You will not go and suppress the five mental hindrances. You cultivate the opposite five. That's why I say, don't fight them. Don't suppress them. Don't control them. Let them arise. Because when the hindrances are there, it will arise. But when my spiritual faculty are there, it will stop. Okay? So let's say you are cultivating spiritual faculty, but you have not done it yet because this is not easy. This one takes a while. Sati also you cannot develop. So the spiritual faculty start with Sada and Virya. Sada will make your mind very calm and very composed. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you got no more doubt. Then you actually determine to cultivate. Then you know the teaching is so beautiful. The Buddha is so wise. Then it drives you, Virya there. And then the practice or the cultivation of Sati is important. Otherwise it is not going to be helpful. That third one is meditation. Understand not? So while the other three spiritual faculties not developed yet, how can you go into meditation? That's why you have to come out with a skillful mean, but not concentration. That's why I introduced mind sweeping method. Then I found the monk who teach 6 hours also not bad. But it recognize release. Understand not? Then after that, relax, smile. The moment you relax, energy cannot build up. So mind sweeping method is the same. I train my mind to be at the location I want to be. Then I feel relaxed. I don't think anymore. So the energy cannot build up. Understand not? But when I feel, I don't relax, wherever you locate your mundane mind, the life force energy go there. It will build up. Understand not? That's how you all energy feel one. Very good at that. So now you understand. So mind sweeping method can make you more calm and more peaceful where you are deconditioned the heedless thinking. Then what happens is you have to radiate a radiant smile so that there is inner joy, inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then your mind state will be good. Otherwise your face very serious. You don't know how to relax and it ends up like that. You're forcing yourself to meditate but all the pain, all the hindrance, all keep on coming. Then you say, well, still very difficult. I still do my sweeping method. But I got no peace. Because you don't know how to do it. You cannot even feel your own mind state. And you don't understand and take instruction. I say, feel. I didn't ask you to note. Or think. When I say relax, means relax until like you are completely relaxed. That's why after a while, if you find it very difficult to relax, like I say, because most people cannot relax. Why? They got problem. That's why they cannot relax. They become very serious. This is habitual tendency, condition from daily life. When they come from office with so much stress and all that, you ask him to relax. You massage, maybe he can. Or you go spa, then he can relax. Or enjoy. But sit down there, meditate, so boring, sleepiness will come. Then that's why he finds it very difficult. Then my sweeping method, if he don't understand, he interpret my word wrongly. I ask him to feel, I never ask him to focus. So he go and focus. Then the heedless thinking come. That's why one moment there, one moment not there. One moment there, one moment not there. Then the train of thought come. Then how to decondition the heedless thinking. That's why you must radiate love and metta. Love and metta is to allow you to have inner peace and inner well-being. Because your mind need to do something. You got nothing for the mind to do, your heedlessness will come. You will wonder of, you will think. So when you allow it to radiate this metta, it has something to do, then metta is well-being. The feeling will come out as a, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. I say, feel it, your body and mind, aware of it. Then feel that well-being and happiness. And then this feeling will introduce the condition for that well-being to arise within each and every of your bodily cells. Then the positive vibration will help in the raising of your immune system. It will help to overcome fear, worry, anxiety, and the negative state. This is important because this has to root out the restlessness, the negative tendency, and all these things. Can follow? Then after that, if you do it until it is a new way of living, then you realize because you don't think, you just relax, then there is inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then the negative state all slowly, slowly dissolve. And then you realize there is sati. We are the mind that don't have the hindrance will have sati. And then after that, you stabilize it. If you don't stabilize it, you don't do mind sweeping method, you will come back on asana. So that is the understanding. Then when you develop anapanasati, it's not to constantly do on asana. Like the true mind, you don't be ever mindful. No? Because the moment you are silent, you are already that. It's just like swimming. Don't try to swim. Don't maintain what they call desire to stay afloat. Anasana. No point. Because the moment I understand that my natural state of body is flotation, I just understand that. That understanding will allow me to float. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to do anything. So my true mind is the same. As long as the hindrance is not there, sati will be there. Then I don't maintain it. No. I develop this through wisdom, no, through the spiritual faculty. No. If I have the understanding, my mind doesn't stir. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara, the first two link weaken. I don't think so much. Understand not? And then naturally, I become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. Then until this one become a part of you, means the spiritual faculty take over. Then you realize no more hindrance. No more hindrance, this one become very quiet, very peaceful. And then this is natural. You are in a natural state of sati. That's why I said you have to go into the daily life. Then you can live life, you know. Like you are in the retreat like that, you know. Then all these things doesn't affect you. You already train the mind so that there is the spiritual faculty. Then your ignorance is less, where you straighten your view already. And then when you have this mind state, you progress very fast. Then you continue to sitting as they are, sitting as they are. Then you start to understand. Then you read the sutta, understand more. Then this one stabilizes when you contemplate and reflect, second turning. And then the next time you hear again, or contemplate again, or through your meditation, silent, bhavana maya panya, it will awaken one. And that one is the real one, penetrative one. Before all this stabilize, that's why the second turning is very important. That's why that United States girl, he wrote to me after I explained the three turning. He said, "Brother, till now I understand. We are all too complacent. We thought first turning enough. But he said the actual hard work is the second turning. The nitty-gritty of the cultivation." That's why he said they failed to penetrate the Dhamma because they didn't know what second turning. They go and do vipassana, vipassana, vipassana. But the base is not established. The Dhamma is not understood. So how can it awaken you? Now you understand?
Okay. So while we work hard to cultivate, right?
Diligent. Not work hard. Don't put in effort. Diligent means you see the important, like virya. It's not an effort. Virya is a spiritual zeal. Spiritual energy that drives you to cultivate. You are not putting effort, no. You are not trying to meditate now. Because this one knows the importance of this cultivation now. That's why I must cultivate. Means there is no greed, no craving, no effort at all. Nobody inside there meditating as well. The thought is not active. That's why big difference. And a lot of books translate virya as what? Effort. That's why how to become enlightened. When the word effort under Noble Eightfold Path, you know what is that word or not? Sama Vayama. Vayama is not virya, understand? Devano, you ask De. Sama vayama. That one is for right effort. That's why it's a different Pali word. But people translate this as effort. Why? Because English translation is effort. Oh. Then they dare to use this virya to mean effort, no. So he said, I apply the four right effort. So the two words become same, no? Virya and vayama. How can it be the same? That's why the teaching has become like that, is because people interpret and use English to translate and use the wrong English word. That's why I use spiritual zeal. I never use effort. There is a spiritual tenacity to walk this way through an understanding. There is no craving. And it comes from the sadha, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Because I understand what his teaching is and who the Buddha is. Because I chant through puja, the salutation. I every day go through and reflect, contemplate who the Buddha is. How special he is. Where he's fully enlightened, not only enlightened. And he is the wisest and the most virtuous. Where he has the perfection. That's why I will have great respect and gratitude. And this will drive me. Where this is the man that come out with this teaching that can transform living being, that can bring about enlightenment. Then my life, you know, what am I waiting? If I don't have this understanding, I will suffer, I will become miserable. Not only this life, you know, my whole life, my future coming and existence will be in trouble. I will never look back after that. I know the seriousness of it. That's why I diligently cultivate. There is no more like postponing, or you call what? You like procrastinate, very good. Procrastinate, every time give reason. Now I got to work, my family depend on me. Then after that, cannot, I got no leave, or my this one coming, my parent coming, you give all sorts of reason, no? Then what happened? End of the day, like that classmate, suddenly heart attack. Then that time, Where to find time? Understand? So don't assume that you will live until certain age. Then you say, when I financially well to do already, then I can retire. And then I full time devote to meditation. That is what you will justify. But if you are serious about life, how can you do that? You see the point or not? Yeah, this is so important, understand? And you will go all out. Even while you're working, you can go and cultivate. Because this is your understanding and you will never look back. Yeah, this is more important than other things. That's why you must have priority. If I don't understand this, everything that I have, no meaning. I still suffer, I will still become miserable. But when I realize this truth, whatever that people pursue, materialistic, is not important to me. Well, I have this understanding, I can live. Even I poor, I am very contented, I am very happy, I am very peaceful. You don't have to be successful and wealthy to be happy. Happiness comes from inside. Inside, okay. Outside, no problem. That's why they say, the wealthy man got a lot of problem. We have too much money. And there's a Cantonese saying, Choi to, san ji yok. The farmer, no money, every day work the field, healthy, but contented. That's why he's peaceful. He got not so much worry and problem. Well, you got wealth, you worry. So much thing can happen to you. Then your business, your children, inheritance, everything, you worry, worry, worry. The farmer, I got nothing to give. What is there to worry? After I no more, you want to take the farmhouse, you take. Sometimes don't even belong to them because they either lease it or what. So, simple life with understanding can still be very happy because you have contentment. That's why the Buddha said, the highest wealth is contentment. If you have a lot of materialistic wealth, and you still want more, means what? You are not rich, and that's all. Where you still want to have more. The one that has contentment is very rich. Where I don't need any more. Okay? So this is how the Buddha actually share. Okay, yeah. Acha, sorry.
Okay,
is it clear?
Ah, yes.
Very good. Okay, Sadhu. Anybody else want to report meditation? Oh, just now Michael want to share. Where is Michael? Michael. Oh, smiling. He said after I share. I don't know whether he meant share with me or share with the class. But I think he got good sharing. Sadhu. I hope you don't mind, Arvind.
Brother, I have very great gratitude coming here. Actually.
Oh, sadhu.
For this retreat, I really find that it really opens up the path for me to really be a cultivator, to follow the true path of Dharma.
Very good. We all should rejoice. Sadhu. Even that understanding is very important. Because from now onward, no more deviation, no more fear of going to Holland. You already very sure. Then this will happen very fast because the path is there, the understanding is there, and you will not deviate because of the Surangama Sutta. Understand? That's why all along when I started sharing with you, what did I tell you? Don't touch energy field. If you want to experience it, go ahead. But after that, for your own good, don't touch. That's why I told our friend Gina. Is it Jin? Gina, your name? Oh, your wife Jin Jin, you Jin. Yeah. Oh, you Leong, sorry. I thought why Jin Jin, he Mr. Jin. Oh, Mr. Leong, sorry. He asked me whether he can continue energy field, prajna and the transcendental meditation. I said, how old are you? He said, 53. Do until 65. After that, my advice is don't do. So, it's your choice. If you have wisdom, you don't need all those things. But before you have wisdom, maybe you find it very useful. That's why I say it's a temporary fix. It still fixes you up. But it's not a permanent fix. Because your depression gone. Then your smoking habit gone. That's why it helps you so much. But this one, no kung fu one, no chi, nothing one. But it will make you very different, very quiet, very heedful. And it's a permanent fix. Then you don't have to every time do prajna, transcendental meditation, then only kautim. Then when you get old, you will got no more help to do that energy. Then what happened? The first noble truth reality hit. You suffer again because the anusaya latent tendency not rooted out come out again. Then if you want to continue energy field at that age, let's say you every day train very skillful, the danger is your brain vessel will burst. Because energy is too strong. That's what happened to my last teacher's father. He's an expert in Raja Yoga. When he was 7 years old, he told the father what no. What you do is wrong, Dad. You are playing with fire. You know what the father tell him? You small boy, don't talk. You don't understand. This is Raja Yoga. The father was very famous. And really got power. Then when he grew up, that's why he recall all those things. So that is my advice. But nothing to do with you. Whether you agree, don't agree, follow, don't follow, never mind. Your life. You decide how you want to understand it and use it. But I was told, he told me, he want to try my way. He want to follow my way. He asked me, how, brother? Again, standard question. How? Follow what I have shared. So go back, mark with marker pen. All the steps and all things. Then, like Michael, understand what this thing is. Then you become beautiful. Is that not? Huh? Okay. Michael, continue.
I felt we are very, very lucky to meet, very fortunate to meet a teacher like you. Because even though I have known you for so long, I didn't know that your Dharma is so profound. I mean.
A lot of people don't know, not only you. That's why I used to tell me phone separately.
I think like striking lottery like that.
Jackpot. but you don't worry, not me. This nature, and you all have affinity, Ian. Otherwise, you won't be here, I tell you.
So that's what I like. I sincerely thank you for sharing.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I rejoice. So 5:30 we go dinner. You all go dinner. I may need a hot drink. I think I need energy now. I speak too much today. this one need energy, even no one. Okay, we have a closing salutation. Then you all can break for dinner. After that, come back at 6:40. Is it 6:40? Or you all want to start earlier, 6:30? Can or not? Can or not? Or need to take bath? Okay, 6:40. Okay, no problem.